Welcome to the Live With Intent podcast with Justin Tomlinson and Thomas Reichart, authors of Live With Intent and architects of the LWI learning pathway. In this episode, we explore the principle of self-confidence with Dr. Atrin Sahafi, gastroenterologist, hepatologist, internalist, and general practitioner. Dr. Sahafi is pioneering what it means to take a medical practice digital. Long before COVID, he made the decision to serve his patients in Scandinavia virtually from Portugal.
First of all, welcome, Atrin. I should say, welcome, Dr. Sahafi. So great to have you.
Hey, Atrin, great to meet you. What an exciting setup that you have, right? I mean, people on a global scale are philosophizing on the future of digital, the future of the way of working, and you're actually doing it. So I'm pleased to get to know you and to learn what you're doing and to hear firsthand how it's working for you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me, both Thomas and Justin. It's great pleasure to be with you here today.
So maybe before we jump into what does it mean to take a medical practice digital, maybe we can just learn a little bit about you and introduce you to our listeners. What's your story?
All right. Well, I was born in Iran just before the revolution at the end of the 70s. And my dad was a Navy officer who opposed the new regime. And that was the reason we had to leave the country. So we moved a little bit from coast to coast. So yeah, we were in different places. But most of the time, just before we moved, it was Tehran in the capital city.
Wow.
Yeah. So what happened is when we moved to Sweden, my family decided that we're going to integrate as quick as possible. And the best way of doing that was education and learning more about the new society and be a part of it as soon as possible. So a lot of our conversation was around about science, history, philosophy, and of course integration. And that has been an important part of my life until today.
So you originally come from the beautiful country of Iran and from the outstanding city of Tehran. How old were you when you left?
I was only 5 years old, but I still have some memories from Iran. And as I remember it, I only remember beautiful things.
So coming from Tehran, Iran, mm-hmm. you had to learn and adjust into big scale transformation early in your life.
Yes, that's true. And that's why it was very important for us as a family to come together during the dinner time and talk about it and share our experiences. And it was always focused on learning more about this new country and learning more about this new culture and trying to be part of it at the very early stage. And I think me and my two sisters, my father and my dad, we managed that quite well. Looking back now, many years ago.
Now, as an adult, right, in the middle of your career, in your prime years, yet another transformation from analog into digital, into full virtual. Your life has been a lot about transformation, I guess.
Yes, in a way, it's been about reinventing myself to both fit and feel good about myself.
Dr. Sahafi, what was it about medicine or medical that caused you to want to be a doctor?
Mm-hmm. From early age, I realized that I'm good at human interactions and I genuinely liked helping people. So combining that with science and the interest of science that I had, it was actually a natural choice to become a doctor. So it's been something that has been with me from a very young age, actually.
And did you go to medical school in English and Swedish?
In Swedish.
In Swedish, okay. So yes. You were full.
Swedish and English, because it's the education in Sweden is generally bilingual. Most of our textbooks, literature are in English language. We usually don't translate it. And most of the Swedes know English quite well.
So you started your career in Sweden, then got all set up in Sweden, and then all of a sudden you had to pack your bags again and change to the other side of Europe. I mean, how did that happen?
My wife, Nosley, she got an offer to work as a CEO for a biotech and a pharmaceutical company, Roche. And that was a very, very good opportunity for her career, as well as our family, to try something new and to try to live in the beautiful country of Portugal. So it was an easy decision to make, actually.
Way to go. And in that decision, however, brought the consequence that yet you had to again transform, and now you had to transform your physical medical practice into the virtual world. And that was already pre-pandemic, if I understand right.
Yes, that's correct. My initial plan was to move to Portugal and try to learn the language, Portuguese, and continue practicing medicine in Portugal. But then I realized that there's a growing market for digital medicine and digital healthcare already starting in Sweden. And I could use that for somehow bridging over my practice from Sweden to Portugal, but using that as I was going along. Meanwhile, I was learning Portuguese. But then when I started working with virtual medicine and digital medicine, I realized there's a huge potential there, and there's more I can do, and there's more to be done in that field. And that's how I somehow realized that maybe this is a better way to go rather than learning Portuguese and starting all over again. So that's how I ended up exploring more and focusing more on this type of healthcare.
And how is it going?
It's going very well at the moment, and I am very busy, especially now after COVID. Things are happening, and it's been an interesting journey. But I'm really happy.
So, how has the pandemic affected your practice?
To be honest with you, it didn't affect my long-term perspective. Because I always believed that digitalization and virtual consultations is the future. But of course, for short term, it definitely catalyzed the process, and it made it move way faster forward. But in long perspective, I would say it didn't affect me that much.
Hey, that's great to hear. Please help our listeners to understand, what kind of patients are you serving and what work are you performing?
I am a gastroenterologist, a GI specialist. I focus mostly on I work in my own field, gastrointestinal tract, liver diseases, and sometimes even general practice, general medicine. That's the type of consultations I do online.
So do your patients know where you physically reside, or do they think you're in Sweden, or?
I'm still working with the same clinic that I used to work in Sweden. So a lot of my patients, they think that I'm still in that clinic because my name is on that list. And I even sometimes visit Sweden. I work work physically at the clinic. So I'm not disconnected from that area. But I managed to do the consultations online and virtually. And if I need some help with hands-on examinations or some practical endoscopies, I just let my colleagues know, and they will do that for me. And I get the results, and I make my decision on based on that.
And are you face-to-face virtually with your patients? Do they dial in on some platform like Zoom, and so you're able to see each other?
Yes, the company has developed a special platform. I use a VPN to connect to the same server and the same system as I used in my practice in Sweden. So my desktop looks exactly like when I used to be physically at the office. In that sense, there is no difference from my point of view. From patient's point of view, we use a camera and we see each other on a screen instead of the patient sitting in front of me.
And do they like that because they don't have to drive into the practice, or would they prefer to come to the practice? How do patients feel about going virtual?
Before the pandemic, there were some reservations from some patients, especially older patients. They prefer to maybe come see the doctor face to face. But after pandemic, especially the older people much prefer to sit behind the screen and be protected from being infected. So it's really been appreciated.
So you were ahead of your time.
I like to think so, yes.
So is this possible for experienced professionals that have had a career or had experience in the analog world? And is it easy to then switch over into the virtual world? Easier than for those that actually now have to learn the trade and actually are coming from university and are having to learn? And if they're only virtual, how do you see their challenges, and how do you see the next generation that's now working virtually only at the moment? Do you feel that they're going to miss out on a lot of opportunities to learn, or how do you see the situation there?
That's actually a great question, because I've often thought about that. And I think me being a senior gastroenterologist helps me more to be able to do this online consultations and make decisions. And that's because I've had enough experience from the practical side of it, from the hands-on side of it, to give me the confidence of knowing and of being able to make a decision based on maybe my other colleagues' investigations or different procedures. What I'm trying to say is I would recommend more senior doctors to do this rather than junior doctors, because in the beginning of a doctor's career, it's very important to have the practical part, to see the patients face-to-face, hands-on, do the practical parts. I've myself done thousands of endoscopies. So for me, seeing a picture from an endoscopy is enough. Everything comes to me. But for a less experienced doctor, it might not be as easy to look at just pictures on a screen. It's much better to do it in reality. My recommendation to colleagues would be that stay in physical practice as long as you can. And if you want to take the step of into complete virtual, do it later in the career.
The process to go virtual, was there anything that struck you, that surprised you, how easy it was or how hard it was?
The process itself was quite easy. I'm used to using computers and digital platforms even from before. So that itself was not difficult. What I noticed very, very soon, that it's very comfortable for the patients and for myself to be at home in our comfort zone and being relaxed and being able to talk about their symptoms and the disease. And one other important thing that I noticed quite early, that instead of the patient coming to my office, which is a sterile environment of a hospital, of a clinic, I am actually going home to a patient. I can see them in their surroundings and how it looks like. And sometimes that gives me a little bit more information about what type of patients we're dealing with, what type of mental health the patient has. And what I noticed quite early is, once I have follow-ups, I can see a change in both the environment the patient is and the physical appearance of a patient. Someone that is not feeling so good at the first contact we have, I see maybe the hair is not done or not even being like prepared for coming, as you are usually prepared to come to the doctor's office. But as they feel better, I can see that the house is more tidy and they start brushing their hair and taking care of themselves. So that's something you never see if you are sitting in a doctor's office, because everybody prepares to come. But once you go to somebody's home virtually, then you get to see the reality of how they're living.
What a striking insight, right? So who would have thought that going virtually, you get more information about the patient when he or she is right in front of you?
Yes, that's correct.
And it sounds like it may be even more relaxing for the patient to open up and share how they're feeling and what their symptoms are versus perhaps being anxious in the clinic.
Exactly, that's correct. And that also gives me more information about how the patient really feels and how the real situation at home is, rather than trying to show another face once you come to the doctor's office.
One of the things that I've read about is the younger generations wanting the convenience of virtual and being very comfortable with digital, with video, and perhaps liking the efficiency of that. So they may be more apt to jump right into virtual. Have you noticed any patterns or trends in the age of your patients?
In the beginning, the younger generation were more keen to use this service. And the older generation were a bit more skeptic. But now I would say that's almost the same, it's equal. Even at patients that are 80 plus years old, and sometimes they get their grandchildren or a neighbor to help them to set the technical part up. But they're very happy to be able to reach their doctor in this way, and I am able to offer them more opportunities for follow-ups and more easily follow-ups, and we can create times in my schedule, and the patient's schedule. It can be a weekend, it can be an afternoon, it can be any time of the day, and we don't need to worry about if the office is open, if the janitor is there, or if anything else. We just worry about our time, me and my patient's time. So patient in focus is something that is that I really enjoy with this new approach.
How does that work with your family and being available 24/7, 365?
I am not really available. I make my own schedule, so it has to work for both me and my patients. And I think my family thinks it's great because I'm saving a lot of time commuting back and forth to work. I can always be around. And sometimes my son, who is like 3 or 4 years old, he comes, he misses me too much. He just comes in the room. And if I'm not busy, I just hug him and kiss him, and he's fine. And even sometimes it hasn't happened often, but if he walks in and I'm in the middle of a session, I don't mind, and usually the patients don't mind, and he can come. And the same thing goes with my patients. Sometimes you see a cat coming and going by, or sometimes the children come. I think it's more personal. I get to know my patients, and they get to know me on a more personal level. It might sound as virtual medicine is it takes you away from the personal touch. But actually, in fact, in reality, I think it brings the patient closer to me, which I think is quite amazing.
That's actually quite stunning. I remember speaking with one of my academic friends who had spent most of her life teaching in the classroom, and then 5 years ago started teaching virtually at a virtual university, and she reported that she actually was closer to her virtual students than she was her physical classroom students, which I couldn't get my head around.
I can easily believe that. That's almost what I feel as well.
Wow, that's actually really interesting.
I'd be interested to understand, how does it feel for you personally, Atrin? So our experience as leadership consultants, as executive coaches, is we're fully digital for over a year now. So our work continues, we get the processes well done, we can be very personally connected and directly connected to our clients, and we have a lot of travel that we don't, that we used to have, we don't have anymore. So we have a lot of savings on travel. But what we've learned, and what our experience has been, being directly with the client gives us energy. So although we travel less, we're much more exhausted in the evening after 7-8 hours of, you know, online virtual work, rather than if we were in a hotel room or on a company site to work with a team, right? So the amazing experience for us has been over the last year, well, we actually win so much time because we're not traveling, but we end up being pretty, pretty exhausted in the evening compared to if we were with a live group. How is it with you, and how is it in your practice for you personally?
You said it, Thomas. That's exactly how I feel. Those hours that I work virtually, I do get more tired and I am more focused, but I feel like I get more done by having this virtual. There's no other distractions. It's only focus on the patients and the issue at hand. It's more productive, I would say, and puts the patient in focus.
And how do you see it evolving in the future? Where are we moving towards in the next maybe 3 years in healthcare with virtual practices? What are you seeing?
I've been thinking about that quite a lot, I have to say. And what I see the advantages of the digital or virtual consultation is that we can collect data in a different way than we used to. Now everything is recorded, all the data is recorded, and this data can be used in different studies and for the benefit of the patient. So we collect data in another way. And that's going to help us in the coming years to maybe find different solutions and going forward and advance in the medical science. That and the patient focus, I think, is going to be important parts that are going to develop. And other than that, there are some technological advances that I see coming up in the coming years. And one of the things that I'm personally working on is a medical algorithm that I'm trying to develop, which means the patient will be asked a few questions by the computer and they will have to answer, and the algorithm will lead them to some sort of diagnosis. And at the moment, you need always a doctor to make the final decision, but I can see this in the coming years, maybe an artificial intelligence or a software can make that decision even better than a doctor. So maybe not in the coming 3 or 4 years, but maybe in the coming 10 years, that could be another solution, which actually is born through the idea of collecting data and recording everything virtually and using that data to make decisions in the future. That's some part. Other than that, we have robotic surgery. And in my own practice as a gastroenterologist, we have, at the moment, we do colonoscopies to screen for colon cancer, which is the third most common cancer in humans after prostate and breast cancer. So it's a very important procedure. But if you think about it, it's a little bit invasive and it's an uncomfortable procedure. A colonoscopy is nobody looks forward to doing colonoscopy. And the way I see it, maybe in the coming few years, we can develop some sort of a camera that you swallow. It already exists that will take pictures, and a doctor can virtually review the pictures and make a decision based on that. So even the practical part of my work very soon can become digital, and at least parts of it will become digital, and there'll be less need of more invasive procedures.
Well, I look forward to the future of healthcare where digitization is at our service, as long as I don't have to swallow my iPhone, right?
As I said, the capsule and endoscopy cameras already exist, and they're quite small. Don't worry about it.
Atran, one of the principles in Live with Intent is self-confidence and being at peace with yourself. How has your self-confidence grown since moving to Portugal?
That's a good question. And I have to say that has been the hardest part of my journey. And that is to say, to reinvent myself in a way to keep my self-confidence and at the same time being in peace with myself and being useful for my family. For me to answer that question, I have to go back to where I met, when I met my wife, Nazli. We met about more than 10 years ago. And when I met her, I very soon realized that she's a very driven and ambitious person with a lot of potentials. And I decided there and then that I will never stand on her way to progress. And moving to Portugal actually gave me this opportunity to prove it to her, to my family, and to myself that I meant what I decided that day. And it became a challenge for me to reinvent myself in a way that everyone would benefit from it. And I can tell you, two and a half years later now, I feel actually more confident as a person, and as a, I guess, as a father and a husband and as a doctor, medical doctor. So I feel like I have somehow succeeded on that way so far.
Congratulations. Mm. And lucky for your family as well, that you're so willing to not stand in the way of Nazli's progress.
At this point, I don't even see it that way, because I feel like this field is so exciting that even if we will move back to Sweden, I will not let this go and I will continue. So in a way, I feel blessed to have been able to be put in a position that I had to find a new way. And this new way has been very exciting, and it's something that I would like to continue.
So the Nori Festival was just a few days ago. So the new year has just started for you, if I'm right.
Yes, in a way, we are like we try to live more as multinational and as inclusive as possible. So we celebrate many different New Years and many different celebrations during the year. And you're right, the Persian New Year, which celebrates the first day of spring, was just 20th or 21st of March, and that is the beginning of our calendar year. So that's true. We try to educate our children so they know about that culture as well. But at the same time, we celebrate New Year's as everybody else, and Christmas the same way. Easter, and we try to celebrate as much as possible.
Way to go. And now that you celebrated the new year and the new Persian year being here and starting, as you look ahead, what do you see? What are the major shifts that are coming towards our healthcare industry in this new year?
Definitely, my personal belief has always been that to tackle this pandemic, we have to find a way of treating this viral infection. And I really hope that with the help of vaccination and maybe new treatments, we will be able to fight this pandemic and go back to normal life as we used to be. But I understand that's a huge challenge, both politically and medically. I'm looking forward to a treatment, actually, to be honest. I think that's the best solution, to be able to treat and manage this disease rather than having to live under certain boundaries and restrictions.
Yeah, we all look forward to that kind of solution. And what a privilege for me to speaking with you and today, Atrin and Justin, with you from formerly coming from Iran and you, Justin, from the US, in the week where we in Europe have full coverage of you both beautiful countries coming hopefully together for the peace of the world.
Sounds great. That is nothing but the dream me and my family have had ever since we moved from Iran. So that sounds great.
Yeah, and not only between those two countries, between many countries. So hopefully we've learned something about COVID beyond healthcare and what is possible when we all get singularly focused on solving a global problem together. So let's take those learnings forward and apply them much more broadly than healthcare.
Well, thank you for the inspiration, Adrian, and thank you for your example in making it happen. You're right there in the future of healthcare. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
And it's great to see you again. Thank you for inviting me into your home those years ago when you were just getting started on your virtual experiment. And it's really exciting to see how it's become so fulfilling for you. And it's interesting that even if you move back to Sweden, you don't want to stop what you've learned in Portugal. That's pretty cool.
Well, thank you, Justin. I remember when we met in Portugal a few years ago, I used to have about maybe 4 to 5 patients a week. Now I could work 24/7 if I had time. So a lot has happened since then.
Congratulations. Definitely. And way to make a difference in the world. And I also love the sentiment that you said earlier about wanting to and needing to contribute to your family. So not just to take the ride to Portugal and you know, take it easy, but to continue your contribution professionally, not only contributing to your patients, but also to your family. And well done.
Inspiring. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Family is important. And I believe if you give everything to your family and your loved ones around, then you get maybe 10 times more back. So it's a two-way street.
It's exciting to see your success. Thank you so much. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Now let's turn to Thomas and Justin for a brief reflection on the interview.
Yeah, the impression that Adrian left to me was how naturally, how productive, and how, yeah, with almost stress-free productivity, he just does it. You know, when we ask him, how was it? Oh, it was simple. I just, you know, turned my laptop on and I used the same graphical user interface as if I was in the clinic. I'm amazed how seamless he made it, how seamless it was for him, and how his serving his family and his commitment to patients, he could align them, he could bring it both together, and what a great solution he's created for himself for right now and, you know, for the future, as it looks like.
What caught my attention is the reality that 2.5 years ago, he was seeing 4 to 5 patients a day. And today, he could work 24/7. And I believe that that is even without the pandemic. So for me, this is such a key trend that we should be watching out for. The ability to serve people virtually. Independent from the pandemic, I think that's something that we all need to pay attention to. And isn't it interesting that he reported that he's closer to his patients virtually? There's a more personal connection virtually than there was in the physical clinic.
Yes. And it's that can be seen in a number of different areas, right? So virtual meetings have that. And he also reported about the price he pays for that and that it takes quite a bit of energy for him, right? Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of energy and he's solely focused without distraction on the patient, which is a win for the patient as well. Mm-hmm. And the whole system, because of the amount of data that they're collecting and able to roll up into potentially new and bigger insights about how to treat certain diseases.
I'm impressed by his personal and professional muscle for transformation. There is somebody that at age 5 had to make an incredible transformation from Iran to Europe, going into Sweden, with the backing of his family, however, had to learn a completely new North Star and completely new system and excelled in that, went to medical school. was seeking after wisdom, was seeking after knowledge, and started his career. And in all of that, again, transforming, in serving patients, in serving and in being aligned with his family, again, had to transform completely his professional career. I'm not sure that there is many people that would be willing to just pack up their laptops and cruise to the other side of Europe to continue their medical practice. That is unique. To all of our listeners, thank you for listening. Our desire is to explore and contribute the future of healthcare by applying the principles of Live with Intent.
Thank you for listening. Reach out to us on Twitter at LWI Podcast. We love your feedback, questions for the hosts, and personal experiences related to this week's topic. This episode was produced by Madeline May.